numbers come together in some kind of third dimension, a regular algebraic bliss. Let's start with something simple, like 1 and 1 ain't 3, and 2 plus 2 will never get you 5.
Well, apparently Jimmy Buffett had as much trouble as I did with math in high school, but we will talk with a guest this hour who says, despite popular belief, girls are just as good at math as boys. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's now 6:36 on this Tuesday, July the 29th. We'll talk with the leader of a study that is published in the July 25th issue of Science that found there are not gender differences anymore in math performance. Janet Hyde is a professor of psychology and women's studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy.
There aren't gender differences anymore, so there used to be?
Well, right, there were some, and they've been narrowing over time. I mean, this has been studied for maybe 50 years, and it used to be that boys were better at math than girls. I did a study in 1990 that showed girls were about equal to boys in elementary school, but then some differences appeared in high school. And then in these very recent data, we have no differences between girls or boys at any of grades 2 through 11.
Yeah. So, how did you figure this out?
Well, the background for this is that all the states in the United States assess all the kids annually, and it's mandated by the No Child Left Behind legislation, which is a different topic. But some states have done these assessments for a long time. Wisconsin has, for example. So we thought, gee, this is a gold mine of data. So we wrote individually to all 50 state departments of education and asked them if they could give us data organized by gender. And we had responses from 10 states, and that's data from over 7 million kids. And then we analyzed those data for gender differences.
Yeah. So what explains the, the same performance now in high school than between boys and girls? Why is it different now?
Well, we think one of the main reasons in the past that we had the gender difference had to do with choice of courses in high school. That is, girls were taking fewer math courses when they were optional than boys were in the past, and also fewer science courses. And you learn a lot of mathematical problem solving in science courses as well. But in the last few years, girls have caught up, and they are taking advanced math courses in high school at the same rate as boys are. They're taking calculus, for example, at the same rate. So we think that that's a big part of the story about why they're doing as well on the standardized tests.
Simply because more are taking those advanced courses.
That's right. And nobody's born knowing how to do calculus,
mm-hmm.
right? Yeah, you have to take it a class, and you learn how to do it, you work hard, and then you can do it. So I think it's almost all about course choice.
Yeah, you know, when you mentioned calculus, I think it was my senior year in high school, I was taking advanced math classes, and then I don't know, just calculus, I decided it was hard, I was struggling with it, I didn't need it for the career I thought I was going to pursue. I thought I was going to bring down my grade point average, and I dropped it. I withdrew from that class. So it wasn't something in my brain that just stopped working.
Your brain could have done it just fine. That's right. and a lot of this choice of courses has to do with something we call utility value, whether kids think it's going to be useful, because kids will take on a challenging task if they think they're going to need it for their future. And as more and more careers have opened up for women and girls are aware that they can be space scientists and all that sort of thing, then they've been more interested, I think, in taking these advanced courses. And they also know it's important to get into college, and they're ambitious about going to college, so they take more math courses.
Yeah, so the former Harvard University president, Lawrence Summers, a couple of years ago when he talked about that fewer women went into math and science careers because they weren't as good as boys or something along those lines. He had it all wrong.
Well, yes. His argument specifically was he was trying to justify why there were no women on the math faculty at Harvard, and I can think of a ton of other reasons than lack of ability. But he was saying that there were no women at the very, very top of the math distribution. He was saying women didn't have that kind of talent, and we've got all kinds of counter evidence to that.
Yeah. Well, what do you want people to do with your study results?
Well, what I'm hoping is that the teachers and parents, and we have very current data that show that both teachers and parents still hold these stereotypes that boys are better at math. So I'm hoping that this will help to change teachers' and parents' stereotypes. And I don't mean to say that all teachers hold a stereotype or all parents do, but on average, they still stereotype. So I'm hoping those stereotypes will change. And the reason that's so important is that both parents and teachers are critical gatekeepers. Mm-hmm. They guide kids. And if they give a particular piece of advice, saying to a girl, oh, you shouldn't go into engineering, you won't be good enough at the math, you know, that can really hurt a girl's future. She might have been good at it. So I'm hoping that those stereotypes will change, and also that girls will hear this, and that their stereotypes will change too.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, right now we do have fewer women going into some fields in science, like engineering, right?
That's right. Mm-hmm. Engineering and physics are two of the areas where there's least representation of women. Now, women have really gone into biology fast, and so even at the PhD level, about 50% are going to women. And chemistry is doing not quite that well, but pretty well. So physics and engineering still have lower percentages, though, of women in those areas.
Yeah. Well, now you were looking at math scores. Do you suspect gender differences are out there with other areas of science, or that future studies will bust those stereotypes too?
We also know, for example, that verbal ability gender differences are tiny as well. And I say that it doesn't seem to apply to science, but actually it takes a lot of different abilities to make a good scientist, because mm-hmm. you have to write up your articles for the public and all that sort of thing. So there are many different skills. One of them is spatial ability. We could talk about that. That's a longer conversation, but that's the ability to sort of mentally rotate objects in three-dimensional space. That's certainly important for some areas of science. There's a gender gap there favoring boys. Again, that's an area where we don't have a curriculum in the schools. And if we put that in the schools, I'm just sure that girls could learn it as well as boys do.
We're going to take some calls in just a moment for Janet Hyde, a professor of psychology and women's studies at UW-Madison, lead author of a study that found no gender differences in math performance between girls and boys. Girls are as good as boys in math, despite what we have heard to the contrary. We welcome your questions, maybe your own experiences with math class, maybe your daughter's. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Do you hope this will encourage more girls to pursue careers in math and science? I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.
Anything you can be, I can be greater. Sooner or later, I'm greater than you.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am.
No, you're not.
Yes, I am. Yes, I am.
We are talking about a new study that found there are no gender differences when it comes to math performance between boys and girls. And we're welcoming your thoughts and questions for our guest, who is the lead author of the study. Janet Hyde is a professor of psychology and women's studies at UW-Madison. And our first caller is Annalisa in Green Bay. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I'm just calling to support what you've said about, especially about teachers. My daughter is a PhD economist, and I attribute that to a seventh grade woman math teacher who showed, you know, demonstrated that girls can do math, you know, by being a role model herself. And I know now there are more women math teachers at the secondary level, at the high school level, which I think is really important too. So I just wanted to throw that in and seem to work in for my daughter.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks very much, Professor Hyde.
Well, thank you for calling in, because that's a wonderful example for a couple of reasons. First of all, economics is a very math-intensive field, so it shows your daughter and many, many other women can do it. And economics has been one of the holdouts where there aren't as many women in the field, certainly not 50%. So I'm thrilled that she's done so well. And also, you're pointing to the importance of female role models who are very competent in math, and teachers have that wonderful opportunity I benefited from some wonderful women math teachers myself, and we just can't underestimate the importance of role models and women who really show that they can do it. I would also say that moms can have that same impact, and just one of my little pieces of advice to moms, they really just should never say, oh, I can't do math in front of their daughters. Even if they feel like they can't do math, they don't have to say it, because they're not being a good role model, and they need to do their best at math for their daughters.
Yeah, and I shouldn't tell my niece, who's 15 and loves math, that I had trouble with math.
No, please don't. Well, you know, math is this funny thing. For some reason, it's socially acceptable for very intelligent people to say they're terrible at math. Would you hear anybody, like your little intro, Joy,
yeah,
would you hear anybody say, oh, gee, I just couldn't read? You know?
Right, yeah, so. Right. But, you know, I could do math. I could do math, and I did it up until that senior year. And I remember, though, because I heard a lot of these stories about how, you know, I don't know, that girls and boys had different wiring in their brains, and somehow I guess I accepted it then that, well, maybe that's what's going on. That's why I'm struggling right now with it. And I would think that that kind of chatter might have influenced me.
Well, we do. There actually are a couple of studies that show after the release of big articles on brain differences, and some people are just so determined to find differences between boys and girls or men and women, that girls' estimate of their own ability in math goes down. So I've said that to some colleagues who do this kind of research, we could talk about that research in more detail, but that they don't realize the cost, the social cost to publicizing those results, especially if they aren't accurate, and they aren't always accurate.
Yeah. Well, and Annalisa mentioned that having a female math teacher might have also been very beneficial for her daughter. Do you think that your study shows that there's no gender differences in math now, when maybe in the past there had been, at least entering high school, because there are more women math teachers?
Well, we don't have data on that, but I think that's a very good hypothesis. I mean, I was talking mostly about choosing courses, but the female math teachers, I think, are probably rolled into the equation as well. The problem with that is we don't want to argue that that's going to hurt boys in math, but there are plenty of high school math teachers who are men, too, so what we want is a balance between the two.
Yeah. Now, this was many years ago that a study came out that said that it wasn't, I think, not just math, but classroom studies in general, that girls were treated differently than boys, that teachers were, you know, expected a little more from the boys, called on the boys more often. Has that changed?
Well, we still find, when people do observational studies, they still find that teachers treat girls and boys differently in very subtle ways. And these can even be teachers who really believe in equal treatment and are trying their best. But all of us have these non-conscious stereotypes that link boys with math and boys with other kinds of behavior. And so you do still find teachers doing things like calling on boys more. If you talk to those teachers, they'll say that they do it partly for crowd control. That is, that the boys become more agitated if they aren't called on, and the girls will sit there quietly. But nonetheless, that gives boys something of an advantage because they're responding to the teacher more. They're getting more feedback on their answers. So it is important that teachers equalize those behaviors. And I know, for example, in our own College of Education here in Madison, they're very aware of that, and they try to prep new teachers and people coming back for continuing education on those kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm. We will go to more phone calls now for Janet Hyde, professor of psychology and women's studies at UW-Madison, lead author of a new study that was published in the July 25th issue of Science that found there aren't gender differences anymore in math performance between boys and girls through high school. We wonder what questions you have. What do you think about these results. It's busting the math myth. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and community with your email. We have a line open for you and time for you if you'd like to get in our discussion. Jeff and Phillips is with us next. Hi, Jeff. You're on the air.
Hi. Good morning.
Morning.
I had some observations. I kind of agree with Joy there about that hypothesis about more girls having female teachers, that they're going that way. I noticed that in the Milwaukee paper and up north here, there's a lot of ads for machine tool guys, machine shop workers, welders, people that run computerized lathes and machines. It seems like a lot of the kids, I don't know if math is related to the vocational, what these kids are taking now after high school. It seems like a lot of, there's a void there that needs to be filled, and I was just wondering if there's any, you notice any trends like that where, I don't know, guys aren't as interested in doing machine shop work where you need math, which math is strongly related to. I was just curious about that.
Hmm? Yeah, that's interesting to talk about some of the highly skilled trades, and some of those areas have just very tiny percentages of women in them, way less than 10%. And certainly that's one area where we have that very low percentage. And the thing that's too bad about that, too, is that typically those are very good paying jobs for people who don't have a college education but have the specific education for that trade. I don't know much about whether mm-hmm. efforts have been made to recruit women for those jobs. I know in some other skilled trades, and there was actually a Supreme Court case on shipbuilding, that if women have gotten into those areas, they faced a lot of hostile environment, a lot of men reacting against them and doing some really crude things that make their lives miserable. So that's something that has to be looked at, too, is the environment for people working in it. And girls seeing those occupations and seeing no women in them, too, that's going to be a deterrent as well. So I think your point's interesting, and mm-hmm. maybe some of the technical schools and wherever else people get trained for those sorts of jobs, if they thought about recruiting more women, that would be a great idea. It would be a great opportunity.
Thank you very much, Jeff, for the call. Jeremy in Sheboygan is with us now. Hi, Jeremy.
Good morning.
Morning.
I just wanted to call and say, well, first of all, congratulations. I've been actually saying that for so long that there's really no difference between men and women. Math is math. But I was a pretty poor math student in high school. I took the algebra, geometry, advanced algebra class, and I stopped there because I couldn't really grasp the advanced algebra portion. And then I went on to college and took a basic math course and did fairly well. And then I took a logic class, which is a completely different approach to what I call kind of the calculus of arguments. Mm-hmm. And it opened my eyes to the relationship between everything. And I still use that approach in what I do in my job today and how I train my employees, is using the relationships between the variables, whatever those variables may be.
And I heard the logic class at the college level is quite hard too, Jeremy. So good. Congratulations.
I was fortunate to be tutoring it while I was in the class. I did very well in that class, but it's just a different approach in how to, another way for somebody who very well may be struggling for legitimate reasons.
Well, Professor Hyde, do men and women need different teaching approaches to understand math better, or would different teaching approaches matter?
Well, yeah, that's an interesting question. I just wanted to respond to Jeremy for a second, mm-hmm. too. One of the things that people say, one of the benefits of learning more and more math is not only that you learn the math, but that you learn habits of the mind, as they sometimes say. That is, math has a very strong logic to it, and it didn't work for you, although maybe if you'd taken those same courses a couple years later, it would have worked or something.
Absolutely.
But, mm-hmm. Yeah, but you got it from another source, namely a logic course. So that's another advantage of taking more math courses, both for high school kids and also for college students. But, Joy, back to your...
I didn't mean to have a different question, but, Jeremy, when you said your advanced algebra class in high school was just too hard for you, was it maybe because it wasn't being presented or taught to you in a way that would have helped?
Oh, there were a number of factors as to that, partly high school being high school. But I think just the approach that those teachers had was very mathematical, I guess to say. It was very kind of cold, and we have to approach the numbers this way, and if you approach them other than this way, I don't know how to teach you. Whereas the logic course was taught by a philosopher, and any which way we could approach the same conclusion was acceptable.
Yeah,
and I mean, anybody who knows a little bit about mathematics knows you can reach a conclusion any number of ways.
I get
and
it. Yeah.
And my teacher in high school is just very inflexible.
Yeah. Professor Hyde?
Right. Well. So I think your points are good. You know, certainly we're better to have math teachers who are warm and nurturing, you know, and some are and some aren't. So I think that's an important component, and certainly part of what turns people off to mathematics in some cases is that it seems like it's cold and uncaring compared to other areas. I actually say that to parents, too, because they often will hold their children on their laps and read to them so that there's this warm association with reading. But also hold your children on your laps and do math with them, do some mental math games, so that it seems like a warm area and a nurturing area, too.
Oh,
so those are good points.
Yeah. Well, in our final minute, why is it so important to set the record straight here?
Well, because these continuing stereotypes that girls aren't as good at boys at math are hurting individual girls and keeping them out of certain careers. But there's also a national cost to it. That is, if we're going to compete economically with other nations, the way we do that is by innovations in science and technology. That takes a lot of people with great math skills in the United States, and we don't want to brush off 50% of our population and say you can't do it when you really can. So it's actually in our national self-interest as well.
And I will say that I enjoyed math in high school from now on.
Okay,
all
good,
right.
Thank you.
Janet Hyde is a professor of psychology and women's studies at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Thanks to Cynthia Schuster, Rob Ferret, and Michelle Kofel for producing this hour. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.